The Mountaintop Podcast show notes can be found at www.mountaintoppodcast.com, where you can also subscribe to the newsletter and get a 25-minute call with me for free. Also, you're invited to join the Mountaintop Summit Facebook group. Look forward to seeing you there.
Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X&Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, this is your boy Scott McKay coming at you again with another episode of the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. I got to tell you something, gentlemen. We have not had a show with the word flirting in the title since episode number 27 of The Chick Whisperer. And I have to tell you, that shocked the hell out of me because it's a huge topic that a lot of you guys are always asking me about. And frankly, we should have had a show about flirting a lot sooner ago than, well, several years. Could be because practically every show I do with a female guest is a flirt show. And you know what? I'll be the first to admit that on the surface, it seems like a show like this about flirting would be more fun with a woman as a co-host. But I'll tell you what, here's why we're shifting things a little bit this time. We as guys also need to talk about this topic amongst ourselves, kind of in a matter-of-fact environment, especially since it's arguably not quite as gentlemanly to talk about, you know, all of our flirt stories with a woman, right? So with me today is a new friend of mine. He's fixing to go become a digital nomad, and that's a cool journey to be starting out on. But today, I'm going to be talking with my man Tony Depp, who you may also know as Tony D, about relentless flirting for sport. Now, Tony D is an author, a dating and life coach at Absolute Ability. Welcome, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. So you're off to Thailand, first stop on your nomadic journey.
I am. I'm off to Thailand in 1 week. It's actually going to be my fourth time out to Asia.
Yeah.
Something just keeps pulling me back there. Cheap living, the adventure, and the beautiful women.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on all of that. Unless you get places like Japan, it's not quite the cheap living anymore. But if you're going to like Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Thailand, certainly Laos, Cambodia, It's very, very easy on the wallet.
And have you done all of those locations, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them multiple times. It's wonderful. I always get sick in Southeast Asia, which is weird because I get sick almost nowhere else. But you know what? It's still worth it.
Yeah, that's what I call the food poisoning diet.
Oh, it's damn effective.
Yeah, the Southeast Asia diarrhea diet.
Yeah, you know what? It's a major cleansing diet, really.
It is in a way, spiritually as well. Every time I get food sick I have like a near-death experience, I lose a bunch of weight and I come out of that experience being more grateful for life for some reason.
Exactly. You know, you're kind of like praying you'll live through this. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I certainly don't want to scare anybody away from going to Southeast Asia. I may scare them away from eating, raw lettuce that's been unwashed or drinking the wrong thing from a street vendor. But overall, Southeast Asia is wonderful. And you mentioned the women, and what we're here today to talk about, obviously, is communicating with women, specifically flirting with them.
It's a valuable skill to have if you know how to flirt like an expert. It changes your entire life.
I would certainly not argue with that. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. A lot of guys really struggle with this topic. And I think one of the reasons they struggle with it, Tony, is because I think they just put too much on the line too early. They treat it as this big high stakes thing when, you know, it doesn't really have to be, does it?
Well, what it seems to be is like when men are very attracted to a woman they consider to be out of their league or to have some sort of special quality that puts that girl above them, they become nervous. And so because of their nervousness, they try to overcompensate and overgame the girl, basically. And it comes off as sort of fake or contrived. And it's not a good flirtation method, because if you have someone that you're not that attracted to, you can play around and joke around with them and you become attractive just because you're expressing yourself naturally, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, what happens is, I'm sure you've heard this too, a lot of guys will say, you know, I can get all the women I'm not attracted to like me. I mean, I can flirt with them. I can make them laugh. I can make them want to go out with me. But as soon as I'm in front of a woman who I'm really actually sexually attracted to, man, the wheels fall off. Have you heard that one before?
Well, of course. And I'm sure you've been through that yourself, being the man you are, Scott. Like, you have to go through a sort of desensitizing process by putting yourself in front of many, many, many beautiful women until your nerves calm down, till it becomes as normal as talking to a girl at the grocery store, right? You talk to a model, it's the same as talking to your sister. You don't have that emotional spike. So therefore, you can actually access all that information that you might want to use to flirt with her intelligently, rather than just have all the blood being sucked out of your brain out to your fingertips to get you ready for fight or flight. You can actually flirt intelligently if you're not nervous.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I'll tell you, it seems like a lot of guys, when they start putting so much on the line here, when they see so much at stake, they really do psych themselves out. It's like they start spinning the if-then loop, like I like to talk about. In other words, they're thinking, oh my gosh, look at her. She's so hot. What if I got the chance to see her naked? If I got the chance to see her naked, that would be like the most amazing bonanza ever. As a matter of fact, it would be too good to be true. So good grief. Don't mess this up like you've messed something else up. And then it becomes, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. You get the negative visualization. The next thing you know, not only do you mess up, but you haven't even considered the girl at all. You've been so deeply embedded inside your own brain that you forgot really to do anything that's outward representation of communication with the woman herself. And that's where guys just start spinning into this vortex of doom, right?
Yeah. Well, I call it like the endless problem-solving loop. So that's that's like all anxiety. I mean, you start thinking a lot about possibilities. Like, if I approach her, what if this happens? What if I say this? Or could I say that? Or what if she sees this, or these people see me? And you start trying to solve all of these problems. And every time you solve one of those little problems in your imagination, it opens up a tree with four more problems that you start trying to solve. And what that does, it's like analysis paralysis, right? And it starts to freak you out, and you'll start to have heart palpitations, increased adrenaline, because you just can't solve all the problems. So really what you want to do is learn how to become present in the moment, stop the thinking, and just take the action. And through experiences and through all these actions, you will train yourself not to have like an emotional reaction at the mere thought of approaching a beautiful woman, right? And then when you're in control of your emotions, you can control your actions, you can control how you present yourself, then women will start to react to you much differently. They'll see that there's something different about you because you've been to war. She is not affecting you emotionally. You're in control, right? And that's what makes you more attractive to beautiful women.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about there. First of all, this idea of it stressing you out to simply talk to a woman. Man, who needs stress in their life? This is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be enjoyable. And one of the things I've always noticed and striven to talk to guys about is that women will follow your lead. So if you're stressed out, if you're worried, if you're flat out straight up scared, she's going to take on that emotion, and that's not going to give her the safety and security she needs to relax, recognize your masculine presence, and be attracted to you. And speaking of masculine presence, you certainly don't have any when you're running scared. The very essence of being masculine is being a provider, a protector, a hero. If you don't look like you're capable of much in that regard, you can't really expect a woman to pick up on that and feel this vibe that, hey, you know, here's a masculine guy who's igniting my feminine sensibilities who I might want to go out with. So not only is that fear that you feel when you're in front of a woman that hamstrings you, that sends you into this analysis paralysis or this loop of doom that we're talking about, bad for your health in terms of simply communicating with the woman. The ironic part to some guys is that it's that very demeanor of being relaxed and not fearing that a woman could ever hurt you that makes you more attractive to begin with. So not only when you slow down, take a deep breath, and I guess, you know, you're talking about this Malcolm Gladwellian level of almost unconscious competence. Well, it isn't almost, it is unconscious competence from having talked to women a lot, giving you this sense, okay, nothing bad's going to happen here. The worst thing that can happen is she isn't very interested, or maybe her boyfriend shows up, who knows. But I'm certainly not going to get injured here. I'm not really going to get arrested, regardless of what some of the media would have you feel for simply being a heterosexual male nowadays. Rather, it's simply going to be a conversation. And this conversation between me and this woman should be relaxed and it should be very human. And when guys can enjoy her presence and just see how it goes, then not only is the conversation going to go better, but the attraction process is going to go much better.
So yeah, most guys, I see them as being like cars. They all have the same problems, the same solution to fix a broken car, right? Like, so say it needs more oil, or you need to check the transmission, but there are different models of cars, but they all have wheels, they all have engines, right? When I get a guy, I just look at him as if he's a vehicle. Like, how much anxiety does he have? How confident is he in his ability to talk without running out of things to say? Does he have good body language? Is he able to hold eye contact? Does he take action, right? And I just look at it and I see all these meters like in a video game. And that's how I help guys to overcome these issues. And any guy, I don't care how short he is, how tall he is, what color he is, how old he is, they can improve their odds with women if they work at it. So much about learning success with women is just work ethic and being able to overcome your own self-perceived limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, while you were talking, I couldn't help but think about all the Pixar Cars movies. And I'm thinking, yeah, let's turn this guy into Lightning McQueen. But I have some guys who want to become more like Doc Hudson at this point in their life, both of which are okay by women. You know, but I agree with you. And I also think that in a similar vein, men should look at women and think, okay, you know what? There's nothing particularly superhuman or deviant or otherworldly about this woman simply because I happen to be sexually attracted to her. As a matter of fact, she's still a girl. She's still a human being. A lot of guys have this feeling, and I don't really know where they get it. I think it's from some of the old pickup advice that talked about tens being reserved for rock stars and so forth and so on, which has always turned my stomach, by the way. And guys are thinking, okay, well, if she's an attractive woman, and again, that's a subjective assessment. I mean, you might think a woman is perfectly attractive, and I don't. I mean, I've had guys send me pictures telling me they've met the woman of their dreams, and I look at the picture and go, well, okay, that's what he likes. That's, you know, that's his taste, right? But, you know, it wouldn't be a woman I would particularly go out with. But you know what? For me, cute rules. I mean, I love little retired gymnast looking women with very pretty smiles and cute little voices. So, you know, in 13 years of doing this, no one's ever emailed me and said, hey, you know what, McKay, you got an ugly ass wife and you're a total fraud. In fact, the exact opposite. I've often referred to my wife, Emily, as my proof of concept. And no one's ever disagreed with that. But she is my dream woman. She may not be someone else's dream woman, but that's a trick that we play on ourselves when we're in the presence of a woman, because we think she's incredibly sexy to us. We think that she sees herself that way, first of all. And second of all, that literally every man in the entire universe, including probably God himself, is after this chick, jetting her off to the Maldives, you know, in a Gulf 4 and buying her brand new cars. And that's almost never the case. Most women do their own shopping for groceries. They take a dump once or twice a day, just like the rest of us, go figure. And, you know, sometimes they have to order a pizza and they sit down and watch, you know, reruns of The Good Place, like everybody else. You know, they're female human beings. An interesting study that I did years ago showed rather definitively that women have no idea that men suffer from anything called approach anxiety. They think that when men don't approach them, they're simply not interested. They see the guy who approaches them, warts and all, trepidation, fear, trembling and all, as, okay, here's the one guy who was interested in me. And when they see that guy full of fear, interestingly enough, Tony, they categorize that guy as a fearful person, not the one guy out of maybe 100 who had the balls to come talk to her to begin with. I've always found that a fascinating irony. So the one thing I want to underscore to these guys straight up before we all start feeling sorry for ourselves here is if you are talking to women, you're already basically a 1 or 2 percenter, because you would not believe the number of guys I know socially who, when they find out I'm a dating coach, tell me, you know, I have never done that in my entire life. I've never gone up to a girl in a grocery store and introduced myself. I've never spoken to a woman at an airport who I didn't know. It's just never happened. And these guys are sharp, successful, even dare I say handsome guys.
Well, I think I can absolutely relate to that, because when I tell women about what I do, and I've done the same job as you for 12 years, Yeah. I've gone around the world teaching boot camps, teaching guys how to approach women in bars, cafes, malls. And when I meet women and I tell them about my job, they go, men, they don't have problems like that. They don't get nervous. And that's because they only meet the guys who are confident enough to approach them. And the guys who approach them who have bad game, as you might say, they come up as, yeah, nervous and sort of excited, and they say strange things, and the women just put that guy in the creepy zone. But I tell them, you know, that guy in 2 years, after he's approached another 500 women, he's going to be that confident guy, that funny guy, and you have no idea that you're girl number 60 that month. And women don't like to hear that they're just a number. They don't want to hear that they are just part of some social experiment. But as a woman, for a woman who's listening, would you rather date a guy who practiced approaching 500 women and now he has great social skills, he's confident, he's funny, he's charming, or some guy who only got the guts to approach you after 12 beers at the staff Christmas party, and as soon as you don't give him the time of day, he's going to become jealous and needy and insecure because he hasn't practiced, right? He hasn't practiced his social skills. He hasn't practiced his approaching, his game, his self-confidence, right? So most people, they only look at this from their fears. They have a media brainwashed, fear-based view of what it is that we do as dating coaches. And of course, because some pickup guys have given us all a bad name. But I think they should teach this stuff in school, like teach young men, basically, here's how you can approach people in general without creeping them out. Here's how you can hold a conversation. Here's how you can make physical contact in a way that builds rapport. Here's how you can improve your life. Here's how to use critical thinking and like logic and reason, man. So many things they don't teach in school, I had to learn through pickup artists, right? Like a lot of men did. We should have learned this from our fathers. But I personally think, you know, that with all this talk of rape culture and hashtag Me Too and the patriarchy, I actually think we live under a matriarchy, and men aren't being taught basic survival skills. And so what's happening is women are pissed off that there aren't enough real men. They're becoming very masculine, whereas men are being shamed down to become more feminine. And so if you have a little bit of a skill with women, if you learn this stuff, you take a few years out to develop yourself, you stand out so much that the other guys that don't practice this stuff are invisible to women. They're invisible. Yeah, so it's very powerful stuff.
First of all, if you have 12 beers at the company Christmas party, the only thing you're going to be approaching most likely is the unemployment office the next day.
So even 6 beers or a couple martinis, but basically it's that men are relying on alcohol and their social circle to meet women.
Sure. And don't even get me started on what they're teaching kids in school. I've written a lot about that. We world school our kids, you know, not only because it gives us a hell of a lot more freedom as a family to do what we want when we want, but because, you know, they were feminizing my son in school and not allowing him to be a boy. I agree with you 100%. I have a big epic blog post that's getting a lot of traction about how femininity and masculinity are being mischaracterized in this culture for grander social purposes than meets the eye. And so what's happening is masculinity and femininity right before our very eyes are being manipulated. We're being told our masculinity is toxic and we're not given anything to replace it with except virtuous femininity. I mean, do those things like nurturing and crying with emotion and all these wonderful heartfelt things instead of being this toxic guy who beats people up and rapes women. Now, the interesting thing is when we're given that set of parameters such that masculinity must be terrible and you must get rid of it and what you must replace it with is femininity, then what I find fascinating is how all of us as guys are completely blind to the fact that what women are doing, the same women who would shame our quote unquote toxic masculinity, what they're doing is they're appropriating virtuous masculinity for themselves. Strong, empowered, courageous women, you know, protect yourself. You don't need one of these men. He's just going to rape you anyway. So how in the world do we get to a point where it's better for women to be masculine and for men to be feminine? Well, what's at play here is heterosexual reproduction because there's too many people here on Earth. But that's a whole separate show. All that to say, I absolutely agree with you 1,000%. So back to flirting. So what are we going to do about the fact that it's getting more and more difficult, even in this age of mass social media, which I would also argue may be part of the problem instead of the solution, by the way, especially dating apps, which are from the pit of hell. What are we going to do as men about this fact? And I don't think it's an opinion that more and more men are finding it more and more intimidating to talk to women at all, let alone wrap their head around the psychology of not offending women and this and that. Well, here's my first take on it. Most women have not changed. If you've got a gender political agenda whereby you're fighting the urge for human beings to procreate heterosexuality, you already know it's going to take an incredibly sophisticated level of psychological warfare to get anybody to comply with that manipulation. Because sex is arguably one of the most powerful forces in this universe, and the human race will go on and people are going to procreate. The only question is, Tony, are you, me, and the rest of the guys listening going to be a part of that procreation process? Are we going to continue to love women? Are we going to continue to be attracted to women unabashedly? Are we going to embrace that virtuous masculinity for ourselves and reject the notion that we're toxic simply for being male and, well, heterosexual? Or are we going to fall for the trap that's been laid for us? And here's what I want to offer from here. When we're talking about flirting, the first step for any man, well, I would argue the first step for any man is to realize being a heterosexual male is what heterosexual females are attracted to. This is natural. This is what works. All these videos, all of these articles on various websites that are trying to tell you that when we let little girls play with boy toys and encourage them to be strong and empowered and, you know, take wrestling as a sport. And then you see all these other tweets from Hollywood actresses showing men dressing up as a character from Frozen and singing Let It Go with their son. And this is what true fatherhood is all about. It's a front. You're not any better a father for helping your son be more feminine than you are a good mother for helping your daughter be more masculine. Now, empowerment, courage, confidence. I think a woman can be all woman all the time while still doing these things. But the rest of us have to wake the hell up and realize that the natural order of how things have been for millennia is that men are masculine and they attract feminine women. I would dare say, and this is not an original thought, by the way, the Christina Hoff Summerses of the world would agree with this wholeheartedly. They would stand up and cheer. There's nothing inherently weak about femininity. Femininity is the higher calling, in my opinion. Women bring everything we live for on the weekends. They bring joy, fun, nurture, comfort. I've talked about that on this show before. How in the world is that an inferior social position than being the man whose job is to provide and protect and enable that femininity to happen? Well, embrace that, gentlemen. Embrace your role. Embrace being a masculine man women love. And then the second, and I think particularly crucial point to this particular topic, is you gotta start thinking about flirtation the way women think about flirtation instead of the way most men have talked themselves into believing about flirtation. Gentlemen, flirtation is not a binary principle whereby you're either showing zero attraction to a woman or wearing it on your sleeve that you'd like to bang her. You know, it's not like nice shoes, let's screw, and that's stage one of flirting. Women think about flirting completely differently. You've always heard that women can flirt just for fun when they're not necessarily attracted to you. And that confuses the bejeebers out of men, but it shouldn't, because women see flirting as kind of a dial that can be turned up from 1 to 10. Women love being recognized for being female by a male human being, and it's a dance, and it's fun, and it's playful. Now, you can say hello to a woman and recognize her femininity somehow. She accepts that. You turn the dial up to 2, telling her she's a troublemaker. Everything all the pickup artists in the world have been talking about for years, about teasing and banter and treating her like your bratty little sister. Then somewhere about 5 or 6 up the dial, it starts getting horny. And what happens is you've ignited that woman's femininity. She's getting horny under there. And it's fun for her, but it isn't like you walked in and flipped on a light switch. You dance the dance a little. Now, guys wonder all the time how I can be happily married to a beautiful wife who treats me wonderfully and vice versa, for the record, and professionally have guys fly in here and take them out in field and meet women and flirt with them all weekend. Well, that's because I have a rev limiter on my dial at 5. I will not disrespect my wife. I will not get into a sexual conversation with a woman. I will stop it if it starts. I mean, in that context, women will do preposterous things. They'll give flirty little looks. They'll shake their butts at us. They'll model their yoga pants and ask us if we think their butt looks good. All of these things because we've dialed it up a little bit. But most men think it's got to be all or nothing from minute one. Gentlemen, let's define flirtation right here, okay? Flirtation is any interaction between a man and a woman, and we're going to assume heterosexuality here for simplicity's sake, that would feel awkward if it was between two heterosexual dudes. If you're talking to a woman in a way that you would never be talking to another guy, you're already flirting. Pat yourself on the back. You're already doing it. And when guys can start shifting into that mindset, what they're going to realize, what you guys listening are going to realize, is you've already been flirting your whole life. You talk to women like they're women all the time. And yes, if you think about flirting like a woman does, you'll start flirting with a 65-year-old woman who's giving you samples at the grocery store, because it's not going to be something sexual at stake every single time. You're going to relax and do more of what you're talking about, Tony, which is just enjoying the presence of women, getting acquainted with it, and having it reach this level of unconscious competence, so that when you do meet a woman you're sexually attracted to, you'll trust your skills, you'll trust the interaction. And I can vouch for that, because after having dated lots of women, I used online dating extensively. When I met my wife, who I had talked to online before I met her, I just relaxed and let the date go like every other date. As soon as I saw that little chick walk through the door, I knew I was in deep trouble in the best way possible. But because I had reached a level of unconscious competence, it was rather like an NBA player making free throws at the end of the game to ice the win, or a race car driver, or anybody else who has to perform in the moment at a high level on a world stage or a big stage, having practice and practice and practice till they knew what they were doing. It's the same way. Once you get into the big leagues and the chips are down, it's almost like, I dare say, you go on autopilot in terms of your interactions with the woman, but that's kind of a background process that allows you to have a real conversation, to get to know this person, to keep your eyes open and see if you connect. And I think that's the whole point of flirting. The whole point of flirting is not to get laid 10 seconds from now. I understand people have 10-second seduction and all these crazy things. But it's to get into a position with a woman where the acknowledgement is there that you're male, she's female, and then you just relax and see how it goes, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is, I think it's a very much a Western problem, like a first world problem. For some reason, because I have friends from all over South America, Venezuela, Mexico, and these people, when they come together, even if they're just meeting each other, they're very warm, they're very playful, they're very touchy, you know, they'll kiss each other on the cheeks, they'll make little jokes at each other. And I noticed Westerners, they don't really interact in this way. It's odd for us to touch each other. We might make a stiff handshake, but flirting is not a part of our culture. So a lot of my clients, Westerners and Asians as well, mostly from different parts of Asia, they have to learn how to flirt from a coach. Whereas like people from South America very, very rarely hire dating coaches, I find, because they've already got this in their culture.
Well, you know, it's absolutely true that we're really uptight in this culture. We're a little puritanical even nowadays with regard to male-female interaction. And, you know, much of Europe is the same way. I'd say India is the same way. If you talk to people from India, they'll tell you, man, they are in such a sexually repressed culture over there. But yeah, it really does. It depends on the culture. It also depends on the personalities involved. How would you flirt differently, for example, Tony, with a woman of a certain personality compared to another? You talked about the woman from South America, and I think we can all envision the woman who's very touchy-feely and flirty and loves being a woman. But some women are more shy. Some women are more reserved. Some women are what I would call high horsepower chicks sexually. They're quick on their feet. They have a lot of confidence, and that's extra intimidating to a lot of guys. How do you flirt differently? How do you adjust that dial? How do you adjust your approach, as it were, for different kinds of women's personalities?
Well, I think a lot of the personality, again, comes down to their culture, and not just what country they're from, but what culture they're in socially. So are they a college girl who's going through a dance class, right? And she's going up, she wants to become an actress. She might be working on her feminine charm a lot, whereas someone else is going to become a major in business. They might, or they are already working in business. They have to compete with men on a daily basis. They're going to be very good at intellectually dominating men. So with a woman who is actually very powerful, in a powerful position in her work, for example, she might be competing with men all the time intellectually. And so I might have to dominate her in a playful way, in that I might have to be wittier than her or louder than her, or just not jump through her hoops, right? Which if I came in weaker than her, it's not going to be a turn on, because she wants you to be more powerful than her. Whereas if a girl, say, just moved here from Eastern Europe, she's just studying English, she came from a small village, and she's used to traditional dating methods, if I go and I start teasing her and being too dominant on her, she might see that as being rude or strange, because I'm being nice to this guy. Why is he teasing me? Why does he say we'll never get along? We're too similar. So I learned this back in the old days from learning these old pickup artist techniques, when I'd do some teasing, some push pulls, some negs or whatever. And women who weren't coming from a very dominant frame would not react well to that, because the way they saw it, I was already a confident, nice guy. Why am I now being mean? So I think part of the problem is that a lot of women in Western culture are seeing flirtation as the man being a lesser being who has to impress them, whereas more submissive, traditionally feminine type women might see you as already being a good man. Now don't mess it up. You know, I hope he doesn't mess it up, rather than he has to prove himself. And so I like to identify if she's one or the other quickly, and then sort of adapt.
Well, there's several things I would add there. First of all, I think it's a mistake to believe that all women are incredibly socially competent, because that's just not true.
Not at all.
You hear a lot that women have incredible social skill, it's innate. That's not true. A lot of women have no idea how to make conversation. They're very nervous. They may even have social anxiety. And if you're a man and you're going to approach her and talk to her, you may be so wadded up in your own fears and in your own nerves that you don't even see that she's nervous too. And that typically ends in disaster, because you have two people who are, again, are so self-absorbed that they're not seeing that the other person is nervous. Whereas what I've noticed is women can be quiet. Women can be giggly and cute. They can be sophisticated. They can be all these different things. They can have all these different nuances to their personality. But if I approach her, giving her space, not being pushy, and I keep the concept of what I call warm levity at the forefront. In other words, I'm not talking about death. I'm not talking about dark things. I'm not being mean, rude, or weird, but rather I'm keeping the conversation light. I'm talking about light topics. And I'm also showing warmth. I'm smiling with my eyes. I'm relaxing. I'm engaging her. I'm not pushing her away through something cold and prickly or scared or nervous. What I've found with alarming consistency, guys come here for 10 plus lives when I take them out in field. Then they see this firsthand. In fact, I'll demonstrate it for them, and they'll be doing it like a champion by the time the weekend's over. Is after a couple minutes of talking to a woman and turning up that dial to 2 or 3, it's amazing how consistent the interactions are. It is absolutely so true that a woman will take your comfort and adopt it. She'll take your style and adopt it. She'll rise up to meet your level of interaction with her. And from there, it becomes a question of what kind of interaction do you want to have? I mean, what the hell do you want from this? Do you want a scared, withdrawn, tentative woman? Or do you want a woman who's laughing and talking and enjoying and smiling? Because that's going to end a lot better for you. That's going to bring about opportunities to make it easy for her to be asked out on a date. She'll feel better about giving you her number. It's all about her safety and security. And I've noticed that this is something that we as guys can control. As a matter of fact, on those same 10 plus live weekends when guys fly here to see me, sometimes I'll watch them interact with women and I'll say, okay, look, you know, this is why you're here. We're going to turn you into a machine here. I'm going to interact with a couple women and I'm going to model your style that you came here with by default the next couple interactions. And it amazes guys that the women respond to me in those interactions in the same exact way women have been responding to them for years. And this is after I've demoed a dozen or two different approaches where the women were very engaged and interested and appeared to adore me, you know, with very few exceptions.
So Scott, so what you're saying is you actually mimic the men's behaviors that they're performing before the coaching, like they're sort of default flirtations. You're showing them.
Well, I think mimicking sounds like I might be mocking them, and I'm not. I just observe what their patterns are and I do what they do.
Yeah, I do that too. I'll open, but I'll use the body language of the nervous guy. I'll use bad vocal tonality, bad eye contact, and try to go and approach women in the daytime usually, and it won't work that well. Right. And this often shows the men, like, this is why you're getting the reaction you're getting. If you would just change these few things, you're going to get a much better initial reaction.
Boom. Yes. So now see, here's two other things. I can also either ramp up the interest level or completely lose her midstream. In other words, same woman. I can start off with the energy I would normally lose and slowly turn it to something that doesn't work as well. And sure enough, the woman loses interest. She starts looking around saying, you know, I think I have to go. And that's amazing to guys also.
Isn't that funny how you can control it like that? Just
yes.
Because you take years to learn these skills, you can play social interactions almost like it's an instrument in a way.
Oh, you absolutely can. And the thing is, this is not anything women don't enjoy or appreciate. This is what they love from a man. This is what they expect. This is primal in their being to follow a man's lead in flirtation like this. And they don't get it nearly enough in our milquetoast culture nowadays, by the way. But hold on. I can also start off kind of with low energy and make some mistakes and bring it around so that I gain her interest after a slow start. That's a lower probability phenomenon, but it's still a pretty high probability that I can turn it around. And this just fries guys' circuits because of the second thing. The second thing is it's the same woman, same venue, same weather pattern going on around us. I'm the same guy dressed the same way, and the difference is immense simply because of the type of interaction I'm having. So earlier, Tony, you were talking about guys being too short, not the right ethnicity, I don't have enough money. All of these limiting beliefs have a pervasive negative effect in a guy's mind. The truth of the matter is, if you've decided a woman doesn't want you, she already agrees. The number one differentiator between men who get women and men who don't is they believe women will find them attractive and want them. Second place is in the rearview mirror. It's probably hygiene, but I mean, you know, go read about Rasputin in your spare time on Google, who was a dirty, smelly guy who women loved. I mean, that's 100 years ago. But number one is if I believe women like me, it's very probable women will like me. And I'll tell you, it amazes guys how it's all about the interaction. It's all about the confidence. It's all about how you lead that makes it easier.
I believe all women love me.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. And I tell all the guys that come to me, I say, from this day forward, all women want to be with you. You just have to figure out how to give them that opportunity. They can't all be with you, and they might not even know that they want to be with you. But if you just adjust a few things about your personality, your belief systems, it's going to affect your entire dating and flirtation skill set, because belief is the most important aspect of improving yourself with women or making more money or anything. You know, you have to believe that it's true. It's like in the Matrix, Neo can't jump across from one building to the other unless he completely believes, and he falls the first time, and everybody falls the first time. You know, in my book, A Thousand Tiny Failures, it's called A Thousand Tiny Failures because you fail thousands of times in order to learn how to leap that building, right?
I would add a couple things to that. I would say, first of all, if a woman doesn't like you, so what? I tell guys all the time, look, you can go to FHM, you can go to Ask Men and see the quote unquote 100 most desirable women list for this year. 30 of them won't even give you a hard on. You won't understand how they even got on the list. And that's okay. Those women don't care what you think of them. They're on the freaking list, which means some other guy likes them if you don't. It's all subjective. Some women won't tell you why they're not interested. A woman does not owe you a full explanation that she's not heterosexual and isn't attracted to men at all. Maybe she really does have a boyfriend. And yes, women can be faithful to their boyfriends. That's very important. Second of all, I would add that a very healthy attitude to have is that women don't want to hurt you. You can even think that they can't hurt you. This is the central theme, in fact, to my program Invincible, which you guys can check out on the website. This is what drove the entire premise of Hank Moody's character in Californication. The guy just didn't believe women could hurt him. And if you've watched the show, women hurt him in that show, and he just lets it roll right off his back. He treats everyone female as if they're not going to hurt him and they can't hurt him. So what would happen, gentlemen, if you adopted that mindset and every time you talked to a woman, you didn't treat her like she was dangerous, like she was a landmine about to explode in your face, but that she was a human being who really likes talking to boys? How would that transform everything? I think that's a valid question to ask. Obviously, flirting can take different forms in different situations. If you're at a bar or a club and women are expecting to get hit on, that's very different than a situation where you're at a grocery store and you ask her how she picks an avocado in the produce section. How would you assess different flirting styles in different situations? What can you offer these guys, Tony?
I think it's just a matter of putting yourself in every single situation as many times as possible. When I teach programs, I'm always putting guys in different situations. So say we're going through a food court and I'll ask them, have you ever met a woman who's sitting down in the food court? Have you ever met a woman who's dancing on a stage surrounded by guys at a nightclub? And you put them in every one of those situations and just watch. I like to watch these guys sort it out for themselves first, because mostly it's a guy's inability to express himself freely because he's stifled. He's afraid of making a mistake. He's afraid of embarrassing himself, getting rejected. So if you put yourself in every single different situation you can where you could meet women, you're going to naturally adapt. 80% of the time you should be practicing, getting experiences, and then 20% of that time should be spent reflecting and studying the theory, you know, the science of seduction and flirtation. And with that, you're going to develop your own style, your own techniques. And then, of course, having a peer or a mentor or a coach to come to get feedback from is very important as well.
100%. You know, a lot of guys come to me, and I'm sure they come to you also, Tony, and they ask about the most difficult, complicated situation involving meeting a woman they can possibly think of. And my answer to them is, okay, I can answer that question for you, but first I want you to know it's probably best if you simply start off by saying hello to the attractive woman who sits next to you every day in your college class. That would probably be a hell of a lot easier, especially if you don't have a lot of experience.
But I always ask, did that actually happen to you? And if it hasn't happened, I say, go make that happen, then come back to me with the experience and I'll work you through it.
Yeah, well, that's fair. But I don't think a lot of guys ever are going to make it to New York City and ask a supermodel walking down the street the other way in rush hour while walking five Rottweilers for her phone number.
True.
It's a test. It's a shit test to us to see if we know what we're talking about. Gentlemen, here's the deal. The title of this show is Relentless Flirting for Sport. The goal is to have women all over the place say to you something flirty like, I bet you tell all the girls that. A lot of guys are worried because if they tell a girl something, they're afraid they're going to have the political correctness police on them. The woman's going to laugh and point and call you out to all her friends and your friends and shame you miserably. Guys, if you're flirting with all the women all the time, and listen, remember what we offered as a complete description, a complete definition of what flirting really is. Any interaction between a man and a woman that would feel weird if it was between two dudes, assuming heterosexuality, right? If you're flirting with women and you're treating them all like female human beings, if you're treating them all as if they're attracted, then you have this incredible superpower now whereby you can see women in flirting mode. You can gauge their attraction level to you. You can see how far you can turn up that dial, and then suddenly you hold all the power. You have all the choices. You're not thinking, oh God, show this woman that I'm attracted to her and hope for the best. Guys, turn it into a conversation, not a competition. It isn't, I've already laid it out on the line. Now she either has to accept me or reject me. All that's going to do is make you more nervous, more wadded up in your own brain. Okay. If you can flirt with all the women, make it something fun for you. Make it your new hobby. Start talking to women like women and enjoy all of them. I don't care if you have five women in front of you and only one of them is sexually attractive to you. What I want you to do is talk to all of them like women. And then once you've established that you like women, it's going to be a lot easier for you to get whichever woman you like you back. Boom, there's the magic. So, Tony, we're running out of time. I want to formally introduce these guys to the book you just mentioned in passing called A Thousand Tiny Failures. And you are the author of it. You used a pen name for that book. I want to make sure guys know that so there's no confusion. You went by T.D. Newton in writing that book. Nowadays, you go by your name, Tony Depp, as a dating coach. And I want them to be able to get that book on Amazon and devour it like they should. And I've set up a special URL for them, which is www.mountaintoppodcast.com/Depp. Just like Johnny Depp, only this is Tony Depp, D-E-P-P. I'm sure you're a lot more handsome and probably a lot more level-headed and interesting than he is. So,
way beyond.
So what will happen when guys get their grubby paws on that book, Tony?
Well, a lot of people have said that when they read the book, The Game, it got them into seduction and pickup. But people who read my book say that, one, a lot of them say it's better than The Game if you read the reviews, and they say this is the book that will keep you involved in learning. I use the term game because it's a popular term, but it will keep you in the game. So it's a story covering 2.5 years of my life, from my very first time I got over my social fears and I had gynecomastia, which is enlargements of the breast glands. So I actually had man boobs like that guy from Fight Club. It goes from when I first got liposuction to fix that. I found out about this dating technology and started approaching women. And I chronicled 2.5 years of my life, of all of my interactions with women, how I transformed my life and became a dating coach. It's very funny. It's not politically correct. It's written in the style of like Charles Bukowski, with lots of dirty sex scenes and swearing and debauchery and drugs and all that good stuff.
Speaking of Hank Moody and Californication.
Yes, it's very much like a Hank Moody story.
That's who his character was largely considered to have been modeled after, was Bukowski.
That's who Sebastian in my novel, A Thousand Tiny Failures, is based on. It's a true story, but I use pen names for everything. And yeah, a lot of guys say they can't put it down. Once they start reading it, they'll read it in one sitting, and they'll laugh their face off the whole time. And women love it, too. So yeah, grab the book and leave a review on Amazon if you like it. And if you hate it, I don't ever want to talk to you or hear from you again.
You know, if it's Bukowski inspired, it's got to be a handful. So guys, go ahead and grab a copy of that. And I would also add, you brought up The Game. So many guys claim to have read The Game and have not read the whole thing. Because at the end, Neil Strauss says, this ruined our life. Whatever you do, don't do anything we did in this book. And yet it became like literally the Bible for guys who were pickup artists. I mean, it looks like a Bible. I mean, that was purely intentional. And guys fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. I always thought that it was weird that it looked like a Bible when at the end it says, don't do anything in this book. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's probably a personal problem. Anyway, A Thousand Tiny Failures by T.D. Newton, a.k.a. Tony Depp. Tony, what a pleasure, man. You know your stuff. I love guests like that. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for inviting me. Anytime, Scott.
And gentlemen, in case you aren't aware of it, we have a show notes page for Mountaintop Podcast. This is something we went without for years when this show was the Chick Whisperer. But nowadays you can go to www.mountaintoppodcast.com and read the show notes for every one of these shows. See what the guests look like. We've had some very attractive feminine guests. You'll be able to put the face with the name for some of those past shows. And also get in on my newsletter list. And if you want to talk coaching, you can talk to me for free for 25 minutes. When you talk to me, you're going to find I'm exactly the dude you expect me to be. And you will figure that out when you call me on the phone. So guys, this has been a great show. long overdue topic. We're going to be bringing some guests on who have been on the show before. That's a big announcement. For years and years and years, we've been going with a one guest, one show policy. Well, going forward, we're going to have some of our more popular guests on for a second time. I can assure you each time we do that, we're going to talk about a completely different topic than we did the first time around. So you guys, we did some market research for that on the Facebook page, which is the Mountaintop Summit, if you want to search that. You can also click on that when you get to the show notes page, by the way. And it was an overwhelming response. Like 95 or 96% of the guys who weighed in on this question were totally all about me having repeat guests on the show again. Other podcasts do it. I'm going to get off my soapbox on that, and we're going to go ahead and go for it. So look forward to that on future shows. And until I talk to you again on such future shows, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications, hailing from sunny San Antonio, Texas. Until I talk to you next time, be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X and Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.